mentioned, we're beginning a new series today called We Belong. And what do you think of when you hear that phrase, we belong, or I belong, or you belong? Something like this? Good. Little Pat Benatar is always a good addition. Always a good addition to a service. We belong. A lot of times when we think of belonging, we think of belonging to a place. I belong here. We think of belonging maybe in a relationship. I belong with this person. They belong with me. Maybe we think of a situation, maybe a job where you say, oh yeah, I belong here. I'm right where I should be. Usually belonging is tied for us to our right to be somewhere or the fate to be with someone or in a particular situation. But with Pat Benatar, I want to encourage us to think of belonging with a little word after it that might be different than how we usually think. We belong to. We belong to. Can you all repeat that after me? We belong to. And over the next few weeks, we're going to explore what or who it is we belong to. And I really think in the past months, we've had all around us these questions of belonging. Of belonging. All over, we're asking questions of how are we connected throughout this pandemic. There's this question of like, well, what do I want to do? What do I think is good? Am I afraid or are you afraid? And then we ask this question, but what is my responsibility to other people? How do I affect them? We're in this global situation where we know that what we do affects countries around the world, what other countries around the world do affects us, and the same is true on a small scale. What I do affects my neighbor, the person who I live with, the person next door, the person in my county or state. What does it mean to belong to one another in that situation? We have people marching in the streets who are saying over and over again, if you read underneath all of it, who are saying, wait a second, we've never felt like we belong here. And declaring, I always think like that phrase that we hear, I know it's uncomfortable for some of you, but that phrase, Black Lives Matter, underneath is this idea that goes back to Langston Hughes, the poet, and before him, but what his words were, I too am America. It's saying we belong here too. That's what we are hearing over and over again, these questions about our interconnection and interdependence. And for a lot of us, that makes us feel uncomfortable. We're raised with this idea that I'm just my own. I belong to myself, no one else. I do what I want to do. I'm free to do what I want to do. And it's uncomfortable for us to recognize that just the reality of connection that we have. And that interconnection is not a value, it's a fact. We simply are connected. Our lives are conditioned and affected by others in ways we have no idea. And it's not just the people we happen to run into on a given day. We're talking about our great-great-great-great-grandmother and grandfather. Their decisions, their lives affect us today. People around the world, on the other side of the world, their decisions, the ways they're living, their values, they affect us as well, and vice versa. And so when we ask, to whom do we belong, we want to be really clear on what that means, because we are interconnected, and how do we live into that interconnectivity well? And so over the next few weeks, we're going to explore our connections and our belonging to God, to other people, and to the world. And when we say we belong to God or belong to others, that phrase can be uncomfortable too, because we're used to thinking of belongings. If something belongs to me, it means I own it. It means I can do whatever I want with it. And friends, that's not what we mean when we say we belong to God, others, and creation. When we say we belong to those people and things, we're talking about this inextricable link. I really like that word. Do you want to say that with me? Our inextricable link. Can you say that? It's one of those really great words. We are inextricably linked to God and to others in the creation. That the trajectory of our lives has already been set in motion. Even before we enter into this world out of our mother's womb, we are in that moment, we're joining stories that began years and centuries and eons ago. These stories and these links and help us to know where and to whom we belong. And so we belong to God. Can you all say that? We belong to God. And that story, as we know it, begins in Genesis 1. And in Genesis 1, God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. I'm going to read that again. This is verse 27. So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You and I are stamped with the divine image. We are like a coin that holds the image of a president on it, right? You pick up a penny and you get the image of Abraham Lincoln. Is that right? Abraham Lincoln's not a penny. We have the shortage now. We don't really, give pennies anymore, but you have the image of the president, or in this time, in the ancient world, it would have been an emperor or a king. They had their image imprinted on the coin. That's the word. We're stamped with the image of God. When we travel and you get around the conveyor belt at the airport and they're putting the luggage down, I don't know about your family, we tie little yellow ribbons around our luggage. So when that black suitcase that looks like everyone else's comes around the conveyor belt, you see the yellow ribbon, that one's mine. That one's mine. That's what it is to be made in the image of God. We have this mark, and God says, yeah, that one belongs to me. We are inextricably linked to God. We exist as an expression of God's heart, and we are pre-programmed with a purpose to cultivate and care for this creation in the manner of the love who created us. And it's that stamp, or it's that image, it's that calling that keeps drawing us back. And so even though we give ourselves over time and again and get entangled and linked to other things, we get linked and drawn in and connected to addictions, to material things, right? We get caught up and linked into false human ideologies that are not helpful to ourselves or others. We get caught up and linked into disordered loyalties, whether it's to a political party or to a particular group that isn't good for us, or a relationship that is harmful to us. We get linked in these things, and we give ourselves over to those things, and all of them eventually chew us up and spit us out. And after they've beat us up and tossed us aside and left us at the side of the road, God comes by and looks at us and kind of dusts us off and says, oh yeah, there it is. There's that image. There's that mark. This one's mine. This one belongs to me. I'll take her back. I'll take her back. We belong to God. Let's say that again. We belong to God. This is what we see in Jesus' baptism. You remember the voice that comes down from heaven when Jesus is baptized in the Jordan River, says, this is my beloved son. I delight in you. This is my beloved son. I delight in you. And from the apostles to the early church fathers, they all understood that when God spoke those words over Jesus at his baptism, they were not just speaking those words over one man named Jesus. He was speaking those words over all humanity. That, this is my beloved child, I delight in you. That is how God looks at all human beings. This is my beloved daughter. This is my beloved son. This is my beloved child. I delight in you. So in that moment of the baptism, we get a glimpse into the rich and faithful comfort of what it means to belong and be inextricably linked to God. Now, there's one more thing that we need to talk about this morning, and it's not a but, it's an and, but we can't miss this and of what it means to belong to God. See, belonging isn't about God, picking us up when we're down and dusting us off and than sending us away momentarily comforted to our own devices. It's not how it works. It's about God claiming us and drawing us into the life of flourishing and shalom and purpose that that divine mark, that image represents. There's this text that gives us a glimpse into this. It's in Paul's letter to the Corinthians, first letter. And Paul is talking about how we give our bodies over sexually. Now I have your attention. And he's saying you don't just do this. Your body is important. You don't just, whether it's to another person in just a casual relationship, or whether it's to, back in that time, they had temple prostitution. And so sex was tied to the gods you believed in and how you viewed the world. And he says, don't just give your bodies over. The reason is what's important for us this morning. He says, do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, which you have from God, and that you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God with your bodies. He says, it's important to realize you are not your own. You belong to God. And that has implications for how you live. It is to our own peril to run away from that inextricable link we have with God. Not because it makes God angry with us, but because it hinders the bountiful blessing and goodness that arises deep within us and through us when that link, when that artery is free flowing with the divine spiritual lifeblood. And it can bring the blessings of God to our whole being. And so to belong to God then is to open ourselves in body, heart, mind, soul, to the one who made us in love, who redeems us in love, and who is making us new in love. So I just want to ask you right now, if you would stand up again. You don't do as much standing in these outdoor services. You can handle it. We need to get you back in shape anyway. And just take this posture. Just put your arms out. Relax your shoulders. I don't want you to be tense. Just put your arms out. Maybe look up to the sky even. Something that makes you feel free and open. To belong to God means to breathe deeply. Breathe deeply. To be open to the grace that is both at the same time healing us and drawing us into new ways of living. Just as you feel this right now, as you feel your body open and free, and you breathe deeply, I wonder how often do you feel like you live like this? Maybe not literally with this posture. I don't expect you to be walking around like this. Okay. But how often is your heart like this and your mind like this during the day? Just open and receptive and free. This is what it means to belong to God. To hold this posture to the world. Say, okay, God, come in. You can sit down. Come in, heal me, strengthen me, give me grace that I need so I can live, and show me what it looks like to belong to you in this life. And so we can say with Jesus, not my will, but yours be done. And we can say that not begrudgingly, but with a deep trust that, yes, indeed, God's will for me is good. And so in Christ, then, I want to be really clear on this. In Christ, and how God relates to Jesus, and how Jesus relates to God, we both see God's response to all humanity, this is my child, I delight in you. And we see in Jesus humanity's healthy and life-feeding response to God. Not my will, but yours be done. And so to say we belong to God, can you say that one more time? We belong to God. To say we belong to God is both a comforting and hopeful fact of our inextricable link to divine love and a new way of living with our lives totally oriented around the patterns and pulses of divine love. And so, friends, today may we be nourishingly rooted as we approach the table. May we be nourishingly rooted in the truth of our belonging to God, which runs deeper than anything we could do or anything that could be done to us. None of those things can sever our inextricable link, our belonging to God. And may we also have a new perspective on our lives, that we are not our own, but that we live and flourish when we swim in the waters of divine grace and purpose and wisdom. May we learn what it means to honor God with our bodies and indeed our whole selves, for we belong.